Hey y'all, DJ Louie here, just dropping a snippet of our latest Pop Pantheon All Access episode in which Vox's Kendall Cunningham, Russ, and I are discussing not only Justin Timberlake's latest album, Everything I Thought It Was, but also how we arrived at this moment in Justin Timberlake. All of the forces either that he engendered or that happened to him that changed how Justin Timberlake is thought of in the last 10 years, and whether this new record does anything meaningful to address any of that stuff or right the ship of his career. If you enjoy this snippet, you can subscribe to hear the rest of this episode, plus bonus episodes every week of the show at patreon.com/poppantheon or by clicking the link in the show notes of this episode or by subscribing directly in the Apple Podcasts app for audio only. So here's a snippet of that episode with Kendall and Russ.
All right. We are here with a very special guest, Kendall Cunningham, a culture writer at Vox, who recently reported on Justin Timberlake's comeback attempt. You can read the piece over at Vox.com. Is Justin Timberlake the pop star anyone wants? Kendall, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And of course, hi, Louie. Louie, you are quoted in this excellent piece.
Yes. Kendall reached out to me and she asked me her questions. I ended up having so much to say that I sent her like tomes and tomes and tomes about my thoughts on Justin Timberlake. Like, I had more to say than I realized, which I'm excited to get to regurgitate here. But I had the honor of being quoted in that piece, which is really great. If you're looking for something to sort of like bring you up to speed on the entire Justin Timberlake situation at the moment from every conceivable angle, I highly recommend you read the piece.
So that is part of what we are going to discuss today. In addition to Everything I Thought It Was, the sixth studio album from Justin Timberlake having come out just a few days ago, I want to unpack some of the things from this piece and unpack some of what has happened over the past decade-ish with the celebrity narrative and the on-record persona to an extent too of Justin Timberlake. I think that we can probably all agree that sometime in the mid-2010s, things started to go quite awry for Justin regarding his public narrative. For both of you, when do you think that this public narrative starts to shift, and what are some of the key factors accounting for the change and how pop fans and the general public see Justin?
Yeah, I mean, I got to revisit a lot of like smaller, like micro controversies that led up to the Britney and Janet stuff obviously being revisited and reassessed. People online sort of began side-eyeing Justin around like the early 2010s after the 2020 experience. There were a lot of broader conversations about cultural appropriation and white artists and white celebrities profiting off of Black culture. Something that I talked about or brought up in the piece, which I completely forgot about until I just stumbled upon it, was this interaction that he had with the journalist Ernest Owens, where I think Justin Timberlake was applauding the speech that Jesse Williams made at the BET Awards, talking about like white supremacy and police brutality, and Owens sort of clapped back and was like, are you gonna be held accountable for the way that you've profited off of Black culture and things like that? And then Justin Timberlake sat back at him and said something like very condescending, like, we're all the same at the end of the day or something like that. And then I remembered he had to apologize for it. That was how big of a deal it was online at the time. But I think that was one example of people really starting to re-examine his relationship to Black music. And then another sort of controversy leading up to that, I think, and this sort of relates to the Janet of it all, was his role in a Woody Allen film called Wonder Wheel that came out the same year during the Me Too movement. And we obviously had a lot of celebrities apologizing and sort of rescinding, I guess, their participation in Woody Allen's movies. And he was not one of those celebrities. And that was, I remember that being a huge talking point.
Those are all incredibly important Justin-specific moments that opened the door for the reassessment of Janet and Britney and his relationship to both of them. And obviously both Janet and Britney's narratives getting reassessed on their own, just sort of like by proxy, changed how we were all thinking about Justin Timberlake. And I think what they changed in some ways is the golden boy status that sort of defined Justin Timberlake's imperial moment. Like, I think it might be hard for younger listeners of the show to conceptualize a period of time, but it did exist, and Russ and I can certainly attest to it because we really lived through it and were at the perfect age to experience it. Justin Timberlake was pop culture's, like, he had a halo around him for a long period of time. And it wasn't just that he had a halo around him, but I think it was that kind of like halo that led to the hubris that sort of like defined Justin Timberlake at his peak. And there was a certain brand of masculinity, and I think think we touched on this a bit in our episode about Justified a few weeks ago, but like there was a specific brand of masculinity that we valued in the late 90s, early to mid 2000s, the peak of Justin's career. It was a form of broiness, I guess, but it was kind of like this aggro male sexuality, almost like a threatening version of male sexuality. I think it filtered a lot through like hip-hop personas of that era, but I think Justin Timberlake was able to kind of like adopt that in the guise of this white guy and like filter it back to like, you know, the audience that he had as a result of that. That was like a perfect storm of like toxic masculinity of that moment that like nobody was like particularly aware of. Like it was just something we valorized without a ton of like self-awareness, and I think his career really thrived on that lack of cultural awareness and of self-awareness and of the awareness of racial politics, of cultural appropriation, etc. And I think a big narrative change for Justin Timberlake is just the way that our culture evolved to stop putting that as much on a pedestal in the middle of the 2010s, or like throughout the 2010s. Like, again, it's linked to a lot of conversations we've like had increasingly about cultural appropriation. I think there's a lot of connective tissue between Justin Timberlake and Gwen Stefani in the way that they've been reinterpreted over the last, you know, 10 years. But I think that part of what's happened to Justin Timberlake is just that like what he is not something that we like value anymore. Like what he intrinsically like is as a person, as an artist, is just like something that's like gone out of fashion. And that extends, I think, Kendall, I said this to you when we were communicating on email, but like that extends to what he does as an artist. And I think that's also part of why he's in a sticky situation right now, which is like beyond everything extra musical that's happened to him, his form of performance, whether it is that aggro male sexuality or it's the sort of pizzazzy showmanship, that sort of like Vegas showmanship that like we used to value in that whole generation of pop stars, like none of it has a lot of currency anymore. And I think that's been as powerful a change for Justin Timberlake's place in the firmament as like any of the specificities of like his story, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I guess in the piece I touch on the bad boy persona that has sort of gone to the wayside recently. I can't think of like a huge artist right now who is really like leading with that sort of personality or aesthetic. One of the changes I had to make, because I referenced Drake in the piece as sort of like the new era of like the sensitive guy who's like in his feelings constantly. And that obviously can have some toxic outcomes, I guess. Specifically with Drake, we've seen him go in a more like sexist direction over the past like couple of years. I guess like outwardly sexist, maybe he's always been sexist. But again, I'm trying to think of a male artist who could market themselves in the way that Justin Timberlake sort of came up during the Justified era.
Justin Bieber is the most clear inheritor to that style of persona and like musical presentation.
Right.
But even he, I feel like, is a little bit lost in the sauce at this moment. Like,
he's a child
who is
of God.
Justin Bieber. Right. So I hear. When you look around at like the male musicians, like maybe Drake aside, it's like you look at like Noah Kahan, or you look at, I don't know, who are the other like big male stars of, even like Bruno Mars, or, you know, Bad Bunny. It's a much like
Harry Styles.
Yes. Harry Styles.
In a dress.
Hello.
Harry Styles in a dress.
I mean, that's
is the
best. That's
it's the
best.
Exact opposite of
right. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Enough said.
Yeah. Right. Even like Jack Harlow, who is like, you're not like questioning his sexuality at all or anything. And he's not playing into like the sensitive soft boy type the way that like Harry Styles is aesthetically, but even like his sort of embracing of like someone like Lil Nas X, even he like references therapy and songs and stuff. Justin Timberlake isn't doing any of that right now.
It's interesting because we're circling this but not saying it explicitly, and I don't mean to call Justin Timberlake this because I have no idea like what he is behind the scenes, but there was something like energetically homophobic about the persona of Justin Timberlake like early in his career that I feel like is no longer cool.
While simultaneously being the object of a lot of homosexual desire.
My own personal like, homosexual desire.
Interesting. I haven't heard this from like my gay male friends.
Oh yeah.
But, okay.
Yeah. No, like millennial gays, like if you grew up in that TRL zone, like a lot of gays will speak to, I mean, Justin, Usher, there was like a whole cadre of them, but like they were awakening in that way.
My first boyfriend had a Justin Timberlake poster on his wall while we were dating.
That's hilarious. Oh my God.
Let's touch down on the reception to 2018's Man of the Woods, because to me, this is an album that is for the first time received differently. The 2020 experience, at least the first part, is received quite well by critics, by the general public. It does ignite some of these conversations about cultural appropriation, but it is nothing compared to the negative reaction that he gets for Man of the Woods. How is the reception different to this album from his previous albums? And how does that album perform commercially for a pop star of his size?
I think another aspect of this that like also should be on the table is that like it's very hard for any pop star, whatever the circumstances. That was just a preview. If you enjoyed that and you want to hear the rest of that episode plus weekly bonus episodes of the show, you can subscribe at patreon.com/poppantheon or click the link in the show notes of this episode or subscribe for audio only directly in the Apple Podcasts app.